You have a guest
speaker
who's gonna share what the Lord has given to her for the body, for this class. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna encourage Jackie as she comes forth with a timely word as it concerns you. Amen.
Amen.
Hi, everyone. All right, so this is healing class, and I want to know how many of you speak to yourselves. Do you speak out loud or do you speak inside?
Both.
All right. Well, we all do. We all speak to ourselves. And I want to ask you, what are you saying to yourself? So the title today is Self-Talk. And what self-talk is, it's the voice of your heart. It's telling you what you really think inside. And it's good or bad, and your self-talk tells you really what you believe truly in your heart. So it could be something that you wrote on your heart when you were real little. And what I mean about that is a doctor could have said something to you, or a parent could have said something to you when you were little, and the information plus the emotion caused you to write something on your heart. And it could be something like you say to yourself, like, I'm always sick, or I'm going to have this all my life. Or it could be, this runs in my family. Mm-hmm. Or I'll probably get it. It's flu season. I'm going to get it, right? Because you're going to get the flu, right? So this is what you say to yourselves. Or you could say something like, this always happens. And you're thinking about the past of what's always happened in your life. This always happens. So we do say good things to ourselves also. We tell ourselves, if you think about it, the things that you do really, really well are the things you say to yourself that you do well. Very interesting, because I've noticed that is so true. The things that I say I'm really good at, I'm really good at them, because I've told myself I'm good at them. So you don't have control over other people's words to you, but you do have control over the words you speak to yourself. Sometimes we speak so badly to ourselves that we would not be friends with ourselves. We wouldn't even want to be around a person who spoke to us the way we do. So the first time I realized I was talking to myself was a couple years ago. Now, if you would have asked me that question in the beginning when I said, how many of you talk to yourself? I would have not raised my hand, because I thought, I do not talk to myself. I know I don't. But honestly, the Lord has showed me that I do talk to myself. And especially since I'm preparing this message, I'm hearing a lot. So the first time, like I said, the first time I realized it was about a couple years ago. And I had a certain sickness for about 60 years. It's been with me all my life. And I woke up in the middle of the night. And when you wake up in the middle of the night, you're kind of vulnerable, right? Because you're asleep. And I felt the sore throat. To me, sore throat means sore throat, deathly ill, sickness. Fear. Fear is the first thing that came up. So this is happening again on the inside. So I said this to myself. I said, oh no, not out loud, inside. I said, oh no. I have a sore throat. I'm getting sick. It's going into my lungs. I know I have a temperature. It's like, I know I can't go to work tomorrow, and I'm going to call the doctor. In fact, I'm going to see if I have any of that medicine in my cabinet right now. Right? I'm saying this, and then all of a sudden I say out loud, by his stripes, I am healed. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know the word, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't believe it, because I've already decided. Mm-hmm. I'm sick. I've got a fever. I can't breathe. Sore throat means sickness for a long time. Equals. So then you feel condemned. I felt condemned because I am sick. I know I'm sick, and I'm not really standing on that. I felt condemned, even though there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you end up condemning yourself by your own self-talk. And then what happens? The devil jumps on it. It's like, there she goes. Yeah, all right. She's talking to herself. So you know that God is mad at you, right? Because that's what I thought. God's absolutely mad at you because you're doing stupid like Pastor Rose would have said, right? And your pastors are definitely mad at you and very disappointed because they preach the word every week about how to renew your mind, how the word is true, how you need to get yourself in line. And I believe it, but I don't believe it because I just told myself I'm sick and I'm going to be sick. So I feel like people are judging me because you're sick again. And then also, people will say to you, only believe. Just believe, right? But then I'm thinking to myself, I do believe. I really do. I really believe. But something's not working right here. Something isn't working. What is it? Well, it's your own self-talk talking you out of what God's word says. You're quoting the scriptures, but your own self-talk is telling you something different. So back to my story. I was sick for a week. That's what I always do, right? Sick for a week, and I'm deathly sick. I mean, I could die from this thing. I'm very sick. I'm not going to call anyone except my sister. Not calling pastors. Nobody. I'm not calling anyone. I'm not even going to talk to the Lord. He's already mad at me anyway. So, you know, it's like I was sick for a week, and I'm laying in bed, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm listening to my scenario. I'm going back to what I did, how I got up in the middle of the night, how I said all those things inside, not out loud. Then I said, by his stripes I'm healed, la-da-da. I spoke the word of God. And I was thinking about it, and the Lord showed me what I was doing by talking to myself. And so I just said, Lord, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. And from that moment on, the love of God came pouring over me in such a beautiful way that, you know, have you ever loved someone so much with all your heart? I mean, he loves you a million, zillion, trillion times more than that. And, you know, actually, every hair on your head is numbered. He knows all the hairs on your head. That's how much he loves you. So he doesn't condemn you. You condemn yourself. And you condemn yourself, and it's not the devil. It's you. You're the one who's speaking it to yourself on the inside. Now, the devil is the author of all sicknesses. But you speak it out into your heart inside. All right. So like I said, he loves you no matter what. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So God's word says, turn to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. All right, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the key to this is your mind. It's our minds. That's a key there. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? That's Proverbs 23:7. So we have to put off the old man, the one that didn't know any better when we were young and we heard those words that we took in our hearts when we were small and we carried them through our adulthood. Like I had that sickness all my life. But every time I get it, it gets worse. It's worse and worse every time. So we put off the old man and transform our thinking into what God's word says. And not our usual self-talk. So in Isaiah 55:8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, saith the Lord. He doesn't think the way we think. And honestly, the way I was thinking on the inside, even though I was saying, by his stripes I am healed and no weapon formed against me, my inside was not saying that. He doesn't work that way. So What do we really meditate on? We quote the scriptures. We have them all over our home. You might have them on your mirror. You have them on your door. The one you, you know, the one that the Lord gave you. We quote the spirit. We quote the scriptures, but our mind is saying how bad you feel, and how God's just not coming through, or this always happens like this. That's your self-talk. So if what we're saying on the inside is different than what's on the outside, we will never have the results that we want, because you're in conflict and you're unstable in all your ways, because your inside is saying something different, but you're saying, by his stripes I am healed. But underneath your breath, you're saying something different. So they have to be in line together with each other. And you have to have them both the same. So the truth is, you are already healed. This is what we hear in healing class all the time. You are already healed. That is the truth. If you came here to be healed today, you are already healed. Jesus paid the price for your salvation, your healing, your deliverance, your wholeness, and God took it all and put it on Jesus. He received all the punishment that we deserved, and he took it to the grave carrying it all. And I'm not talking about a little backpack full of sins and sicknesses that he kind of put on his back and carried around. No, I'm talking about he took on all the sicknesses from all the people of this whole world, from before, now, and in the future. He took on all of it, and he carried it on himself. You see the painting of him with a little blood coming out of his mouth and maybe a little blood coming out of his side. No, that's not it. That is not true. He took it all. He took on all your sicknesses, any sickness you have. He's already paid the price for it. He died once for your sicknesses and sins. It is done and it is finished. So your heart must believe, no matter how much you confess. You have to convince your heart of the truth. But faith does come by hearing. So when you're confessing, you are hearing yourself, and faith comes, right? Because you're hearing yourself speak the word. But watch what's happening on the inside of you. So how do we do this, right? How do we do this? Well, ask the Lord, which is the best thing to do. What am I saying? What am I saying to myself? Ask him, and he'll tell you. He'll help you. One of the things you may want to start doing, ask him what you do really well. And, you know, just ask him what you do well, and then listen to yourself what you say about it. Something that you're really good at. Because the thing that you're really good at, you've told yourself how good you are at it. And that's a good thing to do, because there's certain things I've said to myself all my life, how good I am at it. So ask yourself how good, you know, ask the Lord, what am I saying to myself? Then you need to notice it. You need to notice it. Now, I was at Costco a couple weeks ago, and I'm going through I've got my cart, and I've got my little shield going on, and I'm walking through Costco. No, my mouth is closed. I'm smiling at people, right? I'm walking through there, and I am having a flat-out conversation with myself, like nonstop. I'm talking about the lettuce. Well, do I want this lettuce or that lettuce or this one? No, I think I'll take that one. Well, what's the dates on it? Well, this date is better than that date. I'll take that one. Okay. And I talked to myself through Costco. Well, not all the way through, because I recognized that I was talking to myself. And then I just stopped right where I was at and just started laughing out loud. I laughed through the rest of Costco. I just kept thinking, I'm talking to myself. I can't believe it. But we do talk to ourselves. So you need to notice it. Then you need to own it. You need to own it. If you're speaking badly to yourself, admit it. Tell him you're sorry. Tell him you're sorry. You don't want to think like that anymore. All right, one of the most important things, and this is what I'm doing, is to have a plan. You want to have a plan, because what am I going to do when this thing comes on me again? What am I going to do? Am I going to do the same thing I always do? Or am I going to have a plan? God's word. You want to meditate on his word, because that is the best way to change what's on the inside of you. So it's the best way to change your heart. Now, your mind is kind of like a map, right? It's like almost like a, I see it as a, like a street map or something like that. And in for instance, that sickness I have, it is like a little rut that goes like this, and it's so deep because it's been with me all my life. It's so deep that I get that sore throat automatically. It means sickness, death, bed for a week, 10 days. It means it automatically because that's the way it always goes. You revolt back to what you always think. So you have to close up that thing and stop it. You have to have a plan to decide how are you going to stop speaking to yourself the way you always do. If you don't have a plan, you're going to definitely go back to what you always do. You're going to default. It's going to go right back into the same little rut because it's real deep. Close it off. You're going to start a new way of thinking. God's way of thinking. You already know by his stripes you're healed. You already know what is the truth. You know the truth. So another thought maybe is to, what is your first thought when you wake up in the morning or you're going to sleep? Sometimes you can hear yourself. Are you already negative when you're waking up? Oh no, I gotta go do the snow, and I gotta, oh, it's gonna be a terrible day. I mean, you could talk yourself out of the whole day right there. And then as you're dozing off to sleep at night, it could be something that you're just, you know, you're thinking on that's, you know, that's negative. It could be positive too, but pay attention. Your mind's kind of at a sleepy state or in a different state, and you can hear yourselves. So in conclusion, self-talk is a key, not only for your healing, but for every part of your life, for everything. So listen to yourselves. Miracles happen because what we believe in our hearts. You need to persuade your heart and meditate on it. Listen to yourself. Replace it with God's true word, because his word is true and yours is a lie. So thank you. Pastor Schoen?
Thank you so much, Jackie. Appreciate that word. Hallelujah. Goes in line with the theme. What we've been discussing for the past few weeks, not last week, but the past few weeks, prior, about the power of what?
Words.
Okay? Yeah, more literally power of the tongue, but, and that obviously points to, has reference, direct reference to the words. The words. Can we real quickly just circle back to Isaiah 55? Let's take a look in there real quick. Thank you, Jackie. I love how you brought that back to the word. What are you speaking? Mm-hmm. What's in your heart? And I sometimes tend to say this, that the question isn't really, for example, what's in your wallet? Because the truth is, what's in your wallet may not be able to address the matters or the issues or the things that come up. Has nothing to do with that at all. What's in your heart? What do you have in there? Because out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. What's resident in your heart? What's settled in there? Proverbs 4, I believe, verse 23. Talks about guarding your what? Your heart with all what?
Diligence.
For out of it
on the issues of life, or another version, the wellsprings of life. It's important. Okay, so we need to guard that. So we're at Isaiah in chapter 55, verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Let's pause there for a moment, because further down it goes on to talk about God's word. As believers, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, I want us to see and understand something, an advantage that is our lot, that is our portion, because we are under what? New covenant in Christ. Okay, as concerns thoughts, as concerns God's, the plan, his heart toward you in relation to healing and walking in divine health. I believe God's word tells us expressly that, this is clear, conveys God's heart. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. From verse 9. I'm reading from the New Living. It says, "No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." Verse 10, "But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets." Verse 11, "No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit." What is that advantage? Verse 12. "And we have received God's spirit." We have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, not one that is of this world, so that we can know. Someone say no. The wonderful things God has freely given to us, freely lavished on us, freely bestowed upon us. So as far as the heart of the Father, as far as His thoughts towards us, He's given us His Spirit. And when He talks about the things that have been freely given, what have we freely received? What has been freely given? What have we freely received?
Healing.
Healing. There's a plethora of other things, but this is healing class. Healing. Because guess what, friends? That's part of the package, and we need to know. The word "know" there is a word that touches on not just knowing by way of head knowledge, but in an experiential way. And this bears out in a translation, the Passion, from the originals as well. It's know. Not just intimately, by way of communion, but in experience. The things that have been freely given to us. All right, students of healing class, Jeremiah 29:11. What's in there? Talking about thoughts. Talking about His plan. Talking about His heart, God's heart. Jeremiah 29:11. What does that say? On thoughts. Towards us or towards you, more personal. What are those thoughts?
Good.
Thoughts of what?
Of peace and not of evil. Yeah.
Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Another version says thoughts of good. It's good. It's important for us to know the Father's heart to you, would specifically, particularly, individually, for me. What are His thoughts? What's His heart? In this aspect or area of healing, God wants you well. And He doesn't just want you well, He's done something about it. In the person of Christ Jesus, through His death and resurrection, based on that which transpired on the cross. His thoughts of peace, What's that word peace in the Hebrew?
Shalom.
Shalom. What does it mean?
Complete wholeness.
Complete wholeness? These are things we need to carry in our, embed in our hearts, carry in our hearts, not just, I keep saying this, not just in the head sense, not just in a theoretical manner or in an academic sense, but in our hearts. Having a grasp of it, being rooted in the truth. What's peace? What's shalom in the Hebrew? What is it?
It is complete wholeness, but it's healing, it's well-being, it's financially, it's everything. It's a complete package of your life.
That word is so, what's the word to use now? Thank you, Joanne. It's rich. Speaks of a package. Think about getting a passport. I'm not going to talk about today or what's going on or whatnot, but if you receive a gift, but in that gift box, there's so many things loaded in there. Well-being from the Hebrew. Well-being, which I see clearly as being well. His thoughts towards you, his heart, God's heart to you, what? Being well. It's the word from the Hebrew as well. Wholeness in body. In your body. Shalom. From the Hebrew, wholeness in body, wellness in your body, well-being. Talks about health in there. So his heart, God's heart to you, what towards you, his thoughts towards you, is that you live in wholeness. And I said this, he didn't just, it's not just, let's not look at it as, oh, just thoughts, just plans, but he did something. And we, it's our remit, as it were, it's our responsibility to get to, by God's word, see the truth, see what happened, see how it applies, see how it relates, see how it touches you, how it impacts you. Back to Isaiah 55. All right, because of time, I'll skip verse 10, but it goes on to talk about the word and how that goes forth. He gives a great example, but I want to skip to verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It says, it shall not return to me what?
Void.
So the word will not return to me void. So that's the word void. That means without effect. It's not without effect. It has great impact. God's word is impactful. It's powerful, as Hebrews 4:12 puts it. Okay? So, it will not return to me void, but it shall do what? It has a specific, there's a characteristic concerning God's word. And I'll get to the key point here now. It says, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing, what? For which I sent it. So when we speak, can we have God's word, which is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, embedded in our hearts, so that what comes out of you when the challenges of life come, when that ache hits, or when you face that situation or circumstance, or something you've been battling with, what comes out of you? What flows freely from your heart? What will be the words emanating from your mouth? It will be based on that which you've given yourself wholeheartedly to. If it's the truth of the word, and if you can let it be the word that springs forth, that issues forth from your lips, bang! There's power inherent in God's word. There's power inherent in God's word. What's that need? What are you believing for? What word are you standing on? And when I say what word, I'm not speaking about the word of some preacher, the word of some pastor. I'm talking about God's word to you personally, specifically, particularly, uniquely. His word to you. What has His Spirit unveiled to you? Yes, it may be a passage that, it's been quoted 100 times plus in healing class. Oh, you know it wrote. So that you can quote it, you can cite it very quickly from your, you know, from your mind like that. But that word, how has the Holy Spirit opened it up to you? What does it say? What does "by His stripes," for example, 1 Peter 2:24, what does that mean to you? Are you convinced that you were healed? Or is that, the stance of, and I'm being careful in wording it this way, is that the stance of, that's what we say, so that's what I'm saying. That's what we say, so that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying it because we've said it over 100 times. But in your heart, what's resident there? Is that truth anchored? What does it mean? So I just said all of that to say this. I've said this to myself all my life, at least since I met the Lord Jesus. I've said it, and I guess I'll just say it now. In different contexts and in different manners. The word way, the only way. How I choose to live my life, how I choose to govern my life, how I choose to govern my affairs, or what I speak, what I say. God's word. So, I choose to meditate on His word. 1 Timothy 4:15. On verse 11, it says, give attendance to reading. Reading, private, and also public reading of Scripture. Okay, that's fine. Further down, verse 15, meditate on these things. I choose to meditate on God's Word. I choose to give myself wholly over completely to the Word. And as you do that, as you engage God's Word, always keep it at the back of your minds, friends, or in front of your mind, the fore of your mind, wherever you want to keep it. God's Word is powerful. God's word is powerful. And Pastor Rose, thank you so much for that message last week. I wasn't here, but I heard it from the service. My word. That was so good. So powerful. Again, I repeat, not because some man or some woman or some lady has said it, but guess what? I've engaged with the Father of Spirits. I've engaged with the Holy Ghost. I've engaged in the word. And it's as if you talk about it jumping off the page so that it's real in my heart, regardless of the situation or the circumstance. There used to be a balance back in the day. I don't know if it's still common because, you know, this age they come up with unique, you know, phrases and whatnot. You know, when it says, when push comes to shove, I don't know if that's still, you know, relevant, you know. In the blue eye encounter, when, in quote, life hits, or something happens, or that challenge comes, or that thing that you thought, was dealt with, tries to raise its sneaky head one more time. What's going to come out from your heart and through your lips? What will it be? And so I want to encourage us. One, let it be God's word. Two, let it be God's word that has been opened up to you in a personal way so that you know that you know that you know, and it's not based on someone's word. So it's you personally. And that's why, thank you so much again, Jackie. Amen. And that's why, friends, the base of this we have, guess who it is? The Spirit of God. who knows the heart of the Father. Amen. Yeah. You're going to say something, Jackie?
No, Go ahead. I'm in agreement.
Right.
Yes.
You understand? So yes. We've not received the spirit of this world, but we received the spirit of God. And we might know the things that have been freed, not the things that are about to be given. We've talked about this several, and I got to state this, friends, not the things that are about to be given, because sometimes we get in that place where we think, oh, I'm going to get it. And in that posture of I'm going to get it, you're setting yourself up for I was going to say travail, but like a long journey type of deal, because it's a struggle. If you see that, oh, I haven't got it, I'm trying to get it. But if you understand that you got it, that you already got it, and we're talking about what? You getting to see this, you get manifestation, or getting to experience it, and that's totally different, because your engagement with the Word or with the Lord is not going to be one of groveling. We'll talk more about this next week. It's not going to be about groveling before the Father and saying, Father, please, heal me, take this. Make this move, do this thing. I thought I did something. What keys do I need? Are there formulas? Or formulae? You have His Spirit. You have His Spirit. Get in the Word. Let it be the Word anchored in your heart, so that when you speak, there's an alignment with truth, and there's a corresponding breakout in your body of healing, of wholeness, well-being, everything to do with shalom, as we spoke on earlier on. Soundness in body, being manifest, made manifest, right here, right now. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Any thoughts, questions? I know it's been a unique class today, but praise God. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
The word shalom, when you really look at it and pick it apart, what it really means is destroying the authority that's connected to chaos. Any kind of chaos in your life has already been destroyed, because that's what shalom is.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just before we close out, I want to go ahead and read a portion from Isaiah 53. Once again, those of you who know me well, I have been to healing class for any length of time or stretch of time, will know of this emphasis. I want to read it from the New American, just to emphasize that sometimes when we say certain things, it's not just words. Don't believe it because someone said it. Get in the Word for yourself, okay? And here's something you need to see that can be a good, great starting point in your delving in. Isaiah in chapter 53, from verse 3. He was despised and abandoned by men, a man of great pain and familiar with sickness. And like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we had no regard for him. Verse 4. However, it was our sicknesses that he himself bore, and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assumed that he had been afflicted, struck down by God, and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses, he was crushed for our wrongdoings, the punishment for our well-being, or for our peace, or for our shalom, for our soundness in body, for our wellness in body, was upon him, was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. In some versions, that's kind of obscure because it talks about grief and sorrows, but those bear directly with sickness and pain, infirmity, and disease. Always know that and have that at the back of your minds. Amen. Anyone here with a need this morning? A health concern, a challenge. I'd love for you to make bold and just come forward. Don't be shy. Don't be bashful. We start off by making it expressly clear that God is here. And I already see you walking free from that, whatever that situation or condition is. I already see you walking free. Do you see that? Come forward. Father, thank you for this time. We give you praise, Lord, for this class. Thank you, Father, for the word. Thank you, Father, for opening things up as by your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for great encouragement from scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for the truth revealed. By your stripes, we were healed. Thank you, Father, because we latch on to that. We lay hold on that and walk constantly, continuously in the victory that is ours already in Christ. We rejoice in you, Lord. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.